Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, August 23rd, and today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 41, paragraph 2, which begins with, "As soon as I regained my ability," and ends with, "It was a crushing blow." Today's readers are Hillary B. for the 12 Steps, Joanne L. for the 12 Traditions, Shelley E. will read our text for us today, Chanel T., and Hillary B. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta M., and Betsy H. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, August 22nd, is 21681. That's 21681. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21683. That's 21683. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Hillary B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Hillary B., compulsive overeater in Southern California. I'm sorry, I'm filling in and I was thinking it was near the end that I was going to read the 12 steps. Isn't that stupid? Okay, here we are. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Hillary B. Really appreciate it. And I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am currently writing the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself. In our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and have a great weekend. And I pass.
Thanks so much, Joanne. You too. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 41, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Shelley E. to please begin reading.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. The Big Book, page 41. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I'd made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time, I had not thought of the consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends had told me, how they prophesied that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason, for having a drink. Well, just that did happen, and more. For what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-control would not help in these strange mental blank spots. I've never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crisis. So we're talking about a strange mental blank spot and not being able to remember. And I know when I would it didn't take much, like it says in this paragraph, a trivial thing. It did not take much for me. It didn't have to be somebody in the family's dying. It didn't have to be, you know, a huge family crisis. It could be, it's a sunny day and I feel like having a little something to celebrate the day. So I know I fell prey to my disease, no matter what it was. And I tried all sorts of things, every sort of diet. I lost many, many, many a pound. And but I know when I would go out, I wasn't thinking about what would happen a month from then. I wasn't thinking about what would happen the next day. What I was just thinking about that moment, and you know, my mind would just take over. When I read this paragraph with my sponsees, I have us refer back to page 32, and I looked just today to see, well, why do we go back to page 32? And it's in the same chapter, but it says, once he started, he had no control, whatever that certainly means. And then in that same paragraph, it says, then he fell victim to a belief which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. And I know those times of forgetting, those times of thinking, well, maybe now I can have a little bit. It's been a while. I know that is, it's not true for me anymore. And it was a crushing blow when I found out. But not only, it was a crushing blow, but what a gift for me. The steps, the Big Book, Higher Power, has taken me on a ride that I'm so grateful for. And I can say without a doubt, I would take all of the weight that I've lost, and I've lost a substantial amount, back before I would take the crazy head, before I would take the chaos, the trying to get to that next bite, the not being in the here and now, not being able to enjoy my family. The honest truth is, I would take back the weight way before I would take back the crazy head. And I certainly was in a space with a crazy head. Anyways, with that, I'll pass, and I look forward to what everybody else has to say.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. So appreciate that. Though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you would like to comment on page 41, paragraph 2, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Maria
McCall
C.
F. Roz, I heard Maria G.
McCall. Thank you.
S. and Roz. And Marie or Maria, what's the first initial of your last name?
Maria C.
Maria C. And I heard Sandra Maria too.
Diane MC.
Diane MC.
Joanna.
Okay, this sounds like a great lineup. Make sure I got everybody who wanted to share. I got Marie C, McCall S, Roz G, Sandra Maria. I need the first initials of your last name when you share. Diane MC and Jan L. Did I miss anybody who wanted to share? Okay. I'm going to ask everybody to mute their phone unless they're Marie C. And Marie, please share with us. There is some background noise going on. Somebody's maybe chopping vegetables or something. So if you could mute your phone, that would be great. Okay, Marie, please share with us.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, you sound great.
Great. Hi, my name is Marie C. in Los Angeles. And thank you guys, everybody, for your service today. It's helpful for me to hear another addict describe again and again just the way that, well, I guess again and again, here he's describing how he was finally licked, you know, just how he finally saw just how crazy he was. And I do think that I had a moment like that a little over 18 months ago where I was just like, this is insane and I feel hopeless. And I need somebody to do something. I don't know what to do anymore. But I'm so glad that this man in this instance then actually went to, you know, other alcoholics and went to the hospital or whatever and went and got help. Because, you know, there's this moment where I was thinking I was just going to keep sitting there in my desperation and not do anything. Like, it's realizing you're powerless, but then it's reaching out for help, you know, and you know, I remember I live in Los Angeles and it was the OA birthday party and I knew I needed to go. I knew I needed a sponsor. I knew I needed to do something. But I waited and waited and waited and waited till that very last minute when the event was half over to buy a ticket and go. And, you know, finally meet some fellows who were really going to help me because I was finally in that moment ready. So I'm just really glad that he was, when he was ready, the other AAs were there to hear his story. And guys, I'm not going to be dialing in live anymore. I got a new job. I clock in at 7 a.m. now instead of 8 a.m. So I hope to see you guys on the evening meetings. And thank you for these past few months. This is a beautiful home meeting and I love it here. So have a great day.
Thank you, Maria. Best wishes for your new job. Okay, McCall S., you're up next and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is McCall S. I live in Massachusetts and I'm gratefully recovered today, compulsive overeater, and just really glad to be here and be able to sit and read, and it's been a great week reading about Fred and hearing everybody's shares. And I know that anything in italics in the book is really worth paying. I mean, it's all worth paying attention to, but I was taught that, those were really important parts. And I can identify with him, thank goodness. Left on my own, my thinking tells me I'm very busy. I don't really have time to participate in my recovery in the way that works, like going to a meeting and, you know, spending time in the big book, talking to others. I still want to control. And that's my addiction. You know, that's my solution. And that's what brought me to my knees. And I, you know, on a daily basis, I woke up this morning in a way that really wasn't acceptable to me. My higher power is really showing me my resistance right now. And, you know, when I can finally surrender, there is peace. There is peace on the other side of that. So, so grateful to be here, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else. Really glad that I am participating in my recovery in a way that does work. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, McCall S. Roz G., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sandra Maria.
Hi. I think it's my turn, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Roz.
Okay. All right, because I was unmuting and it was cut off. Okay, so thank you. My name is Roz G., and so thank God I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, Los Angeles. So I have written in the margin of my big book in the italics here that where it says not only had I been off guard, I made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time I had not thought of the consequences, and I have here the strange mental blank spot. Maybe some of you also have that. And I was, I spent the summer, some of the summer on Wednesday night serving in the kids ministry at church. It was all about, just fun kids stuff and teaching them lessons from the scripture. And the last night of the thing for the whole summer, that the leaders of the church had a big table of baddies for me, for the leaders, and they were filled with chocolate chip cookies and brownies and chips and popcorn. And I looked at it and I looked at those chocolate chip cookies, believe it or not, I was like, man, That's great. Look at that. Oh man, that's so great. And then I remembered that when I ate chocolate chip cookies, the last time I did that, I woke up in the night with a horrible back. It's when your throat gets all crapped out from eating too much crap. Some of the word isn't coming to me, but maybe that's a way better description. Acid reflux, thank you. My 60-year-old brain doesn't remember things as well as it used to, but I had a horrible episode of acid reflux. I couldn't breathe. I was being choked from acid reflux because I ate so much chocolate that night. And then I went to bed. And I almost forgot that that's what chocolate does to me. So there is, even at my point in, you know, whatever, there's no point of recovery. I do this one day at a time. I'll just say I've been in OA for 20 years and I've only had 5 years of abstinence. But whatever point I am in my recovery, if I'm not spiritually fit, if I didn't wake up that morning, get hit in my knees the first thing in the morning and thanking God, you know, that I woke up and that I don't, you know, weigh and measure my food and take it to work in a bag and go to bed doing my nightly review, looking to see what I did over the day and working with others and being in this book every day, I'm going to eat those chocolate chip cookies again. I'm going to forget what it did to me. Okay, so I'll just pass by saying thank God that I'm not forgetting because of God. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. Sandra Maria, please share the first initial of your last name and then
sure.
Share with us. Thank you.
Hi, friends. I'm Sandra Maria, recovering compulsive overeater and undereater. And right now I'm redoing the step with a focus on my under-eating brain and food behaviors in the past. And I announce it now every meeting because I need to come out of the closet with that. And when I think about the mental twist, I can see it in reference to, you know, picking up the same food behavior over and over again, expecting a new result. And I was doing some step work with my sponsor this morning, and it was about powerlessness. And like, you know, I was kind of confusing that because I know I don't lack power. You know, my power, my willpower has been so extremely strong. But when I tire out my willpower and when my own power does not work anymore, it's not that I need power. I need God's power. Like, it's not like anything. Sorry, I dropped something. Anyway, it's not like I need a power, any power. I need God's power. Otherwise, I'm screwed. And it says somewhere in the big book, like, when we recover spiritually, we recover mentally. And before, I used to confuse that, like, well, if I sit and meditate, I don't understand. It was, like, too awkward for me. But the more I grow in my relationship to God and also in His program, it's so much, it's the disease of the mind. It's really the disease of the mind. If I let the food behaviors be and I don't act out, the medicine is for my mind and, you know, spiritually as well. If I indulge the word of my faith, from whom I come, you know, my higher power is God. I can't call Him something else, but for me it's God. And when I indulge the word of God and the truth of God, who I am in Him, I renew my mind. And the mind gets healthy. But I need to do that every moment, every second, every day. And I need to be reminded. And sometimes when I'm on the meeting, it's like, oh, it's like a hard shoe. Like, yes, I know I'm sick. I don't want to hear it all the time. But it's not like I'm living in my sickness. It's very different to go to a meeting when I am abstinent than if I'm not, like, it's totally different. So I thank the Lord for having so much mercy and grace with me and bringing me here. And I thank Him for, you know, for doing this amazing program to people who really were once lost like me, and for you being here and supporting me by just speaking up and doing service. And the mental twist is something that God is stronger than. And it's really nice when it starts to manifest. So God bless you all. I wish you all a pleasant abstinence day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sandra Maria. Okay.
I'm in
Diane.
Sweden, so I didn't mention that. Sandra B. in Sweden. Yeah. Thank you.
Sandra B. Thank you so much. Okay, Diane MC will be up next, followed by Jan L.
Hello, this is Diane MC. Thank you for your service. I'm going to comment on this time. I had not thought of the consequences at all, and it separates me from a normal eater or even a heavy eater. I won't raise a defense, that I won't think about the consequences. And I have other allergies that aren't a big deal because I think about the consequences. Got one to cats, and if I'm going to a party where I know that there's a cat, you know, I just think of the consequence and take action so I can enjoy the evening. If I need an antibiotic, there's one in particular I'm allergic to. I make sure I don't get one. I need the antibiotic, but not a certain one because I don't like the consequence. So this just really points out my reaction is just, it's abnormal. Looking at the consequence just goes right out the window when I'm in my disease. It doesn't hold me in check at all, and that's why I need a power greater than myself and a program that will arrest this debilitating disease based on maintaining a spiritual walk one day at a time. And I'm just so grateful for OA to give me that daily reprieve because it allowed me to become unblocked with the food so God could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane MC.
You're welcome.
Jan, appreciate it. Jan L is up next. And after Jan L, we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 41, paragraph 2, which begins with, as soon as I regained my ability to think, and ends with, I knew then it was a crushing blow. So please share with us. Jan L.
I think you mean Joanne L.
Oh, my goodness.
You
mean Joanne L, and I just didn't... Sorry, I didn't spell your name right.
That's okay. A lot of confusion.
Way too fast. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and it's so good to be here with everybody today. I am writing right now. I have been through this process many times, and I also am a recovered alcoholic of 31 years, and I have been in it for the food. But this is me. This is me that we just read. This was me, Fred. Now, this is my favorite chapter because I love Jim and I love Fred. And the reason being is because it shows us the insanity of the both of them. To the bar thinking he was going to sell a car. Really? Liar, 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 set your pants on fire. And then Fred, you know, he thinks that he can just go around the town and, you know, in a taxi cab, and he takes his first drink, you know, and that's what leads him to where he is now. And, you know, if you look at all the pages, okay, page 36 has 26 I's. I. And I recommend that you highlight it. On page 40, there's 15 I's. And on page 41, there's 23 eyes. So my sponsor had me highlight all the eyes in this chapter. There's 60 eyes. Why? Because it's about the ego. It's about the self, and it's about the ego. You don't hear anything about spirituality in these pages, do you, from these gentlemen? No. And Roz, she actually said exactly what I was writing when she said it. On top of page 42, it's the strange mental blank spots that happen with food. There is no fight. So, you know, it all begins with maybe just taking a few bites of this and saying, okay, all right, I'm going to be okay. And then before you know it, the next day comes, and maybe it's something else that you're going to pick up. You know, I am single. I'm 69 years old. I've been single all my life. And, you know, I live alone. So when I go grocery shopping, believe it or not, I still go down the aisles and say, not your food, not your place. Not your place, not your food. And if I find myself flirting in the aisles with something, I just say, what are you flirting for? It's not, it doesn't belong to you, obviously, you know, because you would have already known that. So I do have to do this with myself, and that's okay. You know, I don't have to keep reevaluating that I'm a compulsive overeater. I once a compulsive overeater, always a compulsive overeater. And I've been one since the day that I was born. You know, in any minute I could be Fred. You know, there's nobody here watching me. But I don't want that life anymore. I've been in program for a very long time and I know better. But the most important thing is I have to pray and I have to keep God very close to me all day long. And that's it. And reach out, you know, when I need to. So I just want to say thank you very much. And God bless and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Joanne L. Appreciate you. Okay. So we value everybody's experience. We do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. We're commenting on page 41, paragraph 2. And if you'd like to comment, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Savannah G. and Savannah.
Wendy.
I Cheryl M. M. and Wendy M. Yep. And was that Cheryl?
Uh-huh. Cheryl S. Thank you.
Okay.
Hillary B.
Hillary B.
Daryl P.
I've got Daryl P. And maybe time for one more. Okay, I've got Savannah G. I'm sorry,
Linda,
who was that again?
G.
I heard Linda G. And somebody before Linda.
Linda
I'm sorry,
G.
Who? I got Linda G. And someone came in before Linda. Who was that?
Judith S. P.
Judith S. P. I think we'll have time for all of you. I hope so. So we've got Savannah G., Wendy M., Cheryl S., Hillary B., Daryl P., Judith S.P. and Linda G. We'll do the best to fit everybody in if we can here. We're going to start off with Sylvia G. If you're not Sylvia G., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Okay. Sylvia, please share with us.
Good morning. It's Savannah G. from Pennsylvania. I'm a compulsive overeater. And
thank you.
Yeah. It says here, I knew from that moment I had an alcoholic mind. Because he went back into his addiction. And I celebrated 4 years last Wednesday. I've been in program. It'll be 31 years in October, but I've only been recovered for 4 years last Wednesday, August 14th. And the reason why I have those 4 years is because I knew I finally came to the conclusion that I have an addict mind. And that willpower and self-knowledge are not going to help me in those strange mental blank spots. And those strange mental blank spots, I really don't know how to identify them. I really don't. I guess that's why they call them strange mental blank spots, because they're strange, and they're strange to me, and I'm not going to recognize them. My main reason for sharing today was because I have to identify in, because there's a lot of noise going on around me right now, just, being off my routine, adjusting to new routines with, school being in session. And, you know, I have a foster son that I'm taking in permanently that's in the pipeline. And so those strange mental blank spots become even stranger to me, because I really don't know how to identify them. I need to get a sponsor, and I really do need to do that. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Hope you stay on the line to get numbers for available sponsors, Savinia.
Thank you.
Okay. Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Cheryl S.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Happy to be on the line. Thank you all for your service. So I like to call things what they are. So it says here, before some trivial reason, and on top of that I have lying, and then later it says strange mental blank spots. You know, this isn't strange. It's called lying. And how do I get there? How do I get to that strange mental blank spot? Well, I have to lie, and I have to lie because I have to get a hit. I've got to get my food, those ingredients. And that's why I do it, right? And the other thing I want to say is when it says strange mental blank spots, I think of that as a trance. We're in a trance and or a blackout, either way. And how do I get to the trance? Well, I stop working my program. And then, like, slowly but surely, new ideas come in. Like, that food is a good idea. That behavior is an excellent idea. You know, because, as people said, it's just I, right? And I always say this, but I'm going to repeat, that the disease is in my voice, so it sounds right. And I don't know the difference from true from the false in this situation. And I am in a trance. And I've heard so many people say wonderful things, like, the liar, right, tells me that I'm not lying. That's what it does. That's what the disease does. And I've got to get a hit, so I've got to lie. I've got to have a strange mental blank spot, which I just love calling that a lie. Right, into crushing blow. Well, really, was it a crushing blow? Because this gentleman is in the same situation I've been in the past, where I stopped working my program, right? And it's like this. It's like, well, I don't think I need to meditate anymore. You know what? I really don't have time for that anymore. Or, you know, getting on the meeting is kind of a hassle. Or, you know, and the less we do, the less we'll do. The more I do, right, the more I make all the phone calls, work with my sponsees, get on my knees in the morning, the more I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to be as susceptible because I'm awake. We want an awake state. We want that psychic change where we are in conscious contact with our creator. That is the power that will get us out of the trance, right? Get us out of that sleeping state and into this awoke state. And the only way to get there for me is to follow directions from my sponsor. And she tells me, this is what we do. We do 15 things a day. And not only do I have to do it, I get to do it. And I said, when am I done making the calls? And she said, when you want to make them, right? So the more we work this program, the more Fred worked his program, right, the likelihood of him not drinking these drinks like their ginger ale.
Center reminder.
Thank you so much for letting me share it.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy M. Cheryl S., you're up next, followed by Hillary B.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. And a couple of things. So this very first sentence, as soon as I regained my ability to think, and I'm just like, wow, you know, what time, when have I like lost my ability to think? And it has certainly been when using food and other substances. But I was also thinking, you know, there's been times I'm driving in the car and I'm really thinking about something else. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I get to, you know, here? The last stoplight I remember is three stoplights back. And, you know, so that makes me kind of think of those strange mental blank spots. But I loved what the previous speaker shared about call it what it is, it's a lie. You know, and they talk about a trivial reason. And I could take a trivial reason, but then I have to blow it into something more to make it, you know, okay, so I really should be able to eat because this kind of little silly thing is not really silly. It's a great big deal. And it just shows the insanity. I think this paragraph, you know, really demonstrates two things. It demonstrates our insanity, my insanity, and the insane things that I would do to get the effect, to get relief from the things that make me want to overeat, that make me have to overeat. And the other thing is it really demonstrates the two parts of this disease, which are so important. They're so intertwined. They can't really be taken apart. And the first one is, you know, he wasn't drinking. He did not have the phenomenon of craving. He was not experiencing that physical part of the disease. So if that's all it was about, if it was just about put down the food and then you'll be fine, he wouldn't have picked up a drink. And the other part is, if it was just about the mental twist, he would have been able to stop. But he had the mental twist. He had the mental blank spot. He picked up the substance. The phenomenon of craving was triggered. He had to keep drinking. And for me to try and get those two pieces of the disease and realize how interdependent they are upon each other was a huge key to my recovery. You know, if it was just about a diet, I could diet. If it was just about my willpower, I could probably willpower it out until I couldn't. But as soon as I put that substance in, as soon as I lied to myself, which is what I am at my core, I'm a self-centered, self-pitying liar. And without God's help, I can't be anything else. But with God's help, I can be recovered. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Daryl P., you're up next.
It's not Hillary B.
Good morning. Vision for you, family.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is. It is Hillary B. And I was taking notes for Cheryl on your on your dime here. Okay, Hillary B. Yes, and we're not going to have time for everybody, but please share with us, Hillary. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm Hillary B. I'm a compulsive overeater in California, gratefully recovered just for today. I have to remember that. So this paragraph is telling me I can't protect my own self from danger, because what's dangerous in reality to me seems harmless. Oh, it's not a big deal. I'll just eat a cookie. Oh, I'll just eat this. Oh, I can get back on it. That's my disease sending me down up the river again one more time. And I've had 40 years of doing that. And thank goodness I have my year and 3.5 months of entire abstinence for the first time in my life. I don't think of the consequences at all. I don't want to think of the consequences at all. Even after I eat and I can't stop, I don't want to admit it's a consequence. Oh, I'll start tomorrow. I mean, I just lie. Or I could say the disease lies to me, but I pay attention to the disease. And self-knowledge never helps me in those strange mental blank spots. I'm telling you, in all my years in OA, I worked the steps so many times I can't even count. I did so many 4 steps. I always did them with 100% intention of recovering. What I didn't realize was it was so much on an intellectual level. I would read the big book and I'd think, oh yeah, I get that. And I would do a 4-step and say, oh, I get it now. But it was all intellectual, and I thought just because I understood it, that meant I was recovered or in recovery. But it never was the real thing. I never really surrendered. I never conceded to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater and that I was doomed
And I always would say, I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as the rest of you. Whatever lie I had to tell myself. And it took a long time for me to be hopelessly defeated because you know what they say. There are people who are, nobody's too dumb for this program, but some of us are too smart for this program. And I was one of those. And that's not very smart. And, you know, it really was very self-destructive. So that's all. Thank you for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Hillary B. And Daryl P., next, and I'm afraid it's the last share we have time for today. So please share with us, Daryl.
Daryl P. here. Grateful to be in recovery and here this morning, and I'll be quick. So just, I mean, I feel like I'm repeating what other people are saying, but this idea that willpower and self-knowledge will not help, you know, for me, having done an inventory and looking at stuff like assets and liabilities, I realized that not only will it not help, not only will that willpower and self-knowledge not help, that they're a total liability for me when it comes to food, right? When it comes to food, they've served me well in other parts, and I've been very reliant on them in other parts of my life. But when it comes to being a compulsive overeater, which I am, it does not serve me well. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. And we do have time for a very quick 1.5 minute share from Judith SP.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you so much. Excuse me. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm glad I have less time so I can be more concise. What really pops out at me in gently loving myself and acknowledging 150% that I am very sick. I thank you, God, have healed in my body. It's strong, it's healthy, it's rebounded. But my mind, my brain, my thinking, my ability to connect one experience or thought to the next is really shattered. What I love here is they had said that, oh, I did raise a defense, it would one day give me. This is step one. I've got to take step one by myself. You could tell me, give me a list of why nots or why twos, and I'll smile and go off and do quote-unquote Judith's thing. And it doesn't matter how much I know, how much research, self-knowledge, nope. Self-will, nope. God's will, God's way is the only way that I can stay recovered today and have a good opportunity to continue to recover, recover, recover. So it's not what others say, and I wish I believe, but it's my belief in my higher power that keeps me sane. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judith SP, and I'm so sorry, Linda, that we didn't have time for your share as well. Okay. At this time, we're going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Chanel T. please read A Vision for You?
Sure. Thank you, Elaine. This is Chanel P. in Washington State, Grateful Compulsive Eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.